Well, good morning, family. Good to see some of you. It's been a little bit of time since we've been all together. Good to see Pat. Good to see you, Holes. I specifically want to say thank you, Connie, for the time you sat with Carrie and I while I was doing my procedure. It just made things go much smoother. Thank you for your gift. I appreciate that. Thank you. I have a question for you. Is what we're facing today in the world, is that normal? Raise your hand if you think that's normal. If what we're facing today in the world is normal. So the other question is, if it's not normal, it must be abnormal. Raise your hand if you think it's abnormal. Remember in Young Frankenstein, Abby Normal? We won't go there. That's a whole different sermon. Let's pray, and we're going to get into that question. Father, thank you for this morning that we gather. Lord, I just want to also start and just say thank you to the ladies last week who blessed us with Father's Day last week and Carrie bringing the message, which is online, and people have already commented how much they appreciate her words of wisdom and encouragement she gave. Thank you for Di standing up here and filling in for Paul and Sharon and just the music, and it was a good weekend. So, Father, thank you for the celebration of fathers, but, of course, our godly father was what the focus was last week. Lord, we thank you for this morning. A craziness in the world, but, Lord, we know you are in control, and we give you the honor and glory and praise for that. Lord, we thank you, and just speak to us this morning. It's in your son's most precious name we pray. Amen. So, normal or abnormal? And then I put up on the screen, normal and routine. I'm just going to add another layer of complexity. If you're in social media or you're on the internet at all, there's a debate raging. People are asking, when are things going to return to normal? We all want it to go back to normal, whatever normal is. And it's funny, the more I've gotten and grown in my faith and lived life and just day to day, normal just seems to not be normal anymore. And it never seems to go back. In fact, I'll prove it to you. Right now, this second is gone. And now we have a new second, right, Paul? That second is not the same as that last second, right? So which one's normal? I'm messing with your head. If you haven't had enough coffee this morning, I'm sorry. Just stay with me, okay? What is normal? When I was in the military, everything I thought was normal turned upside down, right, JD? The military teaches you about really abnormal situations and how to look at things. And a couple weeks ago, I preached on the idea about perception, right? Where if you just alter your perception, your reality can be affected. What is normal? Well, there's also this thing called routine, and sometimes our routines are normal, but some of our routines are not normal. There are baseball players, Jacob, back me up on this one. There are routines that sports athletic figures go through, correct, to get ready for the game, right? There are some normal routines, and there's some abnormal routines, right? Probably, right? Okay. When you get up in the morning, do you have a routine? Bert, do you have a routine in the morning? Okay, we have those routines, don't we? Now, is that routine normal? Does it help define our normal? When we get done, well, let me ask you this way. How many of us, if our routine is broken, our morning is not normal? Think about it like that. What defines our normal is many times our routines. But sometimes our routines are abnormal. And our routines can get us into abnormal walks of faith. Or our routines can take away from normalcy in our life. So I want to talk about that and unpack that a little bit today. But the question today is normal versus routine. And one of the ways that I work through to make things normal for my world and the way I think, it's to-do list. Anybody have? That's not a honey-do list, Paul. That's not. Don't get worried, okay? Linda smiled on that one. How many of you like to-do lists? Please be honest. Come on. We the logical, right-brain thinkers, sequential. We process that way. The left side, the artistic side, tend to be a little bit more social butterflies. We tend to jump from situation to situation. But I love my lists. That doesn't necessarily mean I have my list written out. How many of you write your lists out? pointing at Connie. I got it. You, Lou, you like your list? Okay. When you check them off, it feels good, doesn't it? It's like a sense of accomplishment. But here's what I know. As soon as I get that last tick mark on that, what happens? There's a new one. Or something else has come along, right? Or an old one. What she thought was done and put to bed is no longer right. It's a way of giving us some assurance that we've accomplished things that are important, maybe. I also know on the spectrum of normalcy, there are people who are abnormally routine. I heard a few chuckles in there. I think y'all are thinking of some people that you know of that are so routine, they're what? You can set the clock by them. That's one way of saying it. But I was thinking of a word starts with a B and ends with G. Boring. I'm only being funny. Self-absorbed, focused. Okay. You ever known anybody like that? They're so routine. Like you said, you can set the clock by. Uh-oh. I see a lot of elbow work going on in the pews this morning. That's good. That's good. Mason, are you routine? You don't like your routines. If I know anything about Mason, just watch out what he eats. You're not routine, kid. What about you? Are you routine? Do you know what I mean by routine? Do you like to eat your burger the same way? How many of you like Reese's Pieces or Reese's Cups? I've taught my children how to eat Reese's correctly. You take it out of the wrapper and you eat the chocolate off the edges first, and then that too. You eat the chocolate off the edges, and then the ratio of chocolate to peanut butter is just right then at that point, but you got to eat it that way. Three Musketeers the same way. That's my routine. What are you laughing at? Don't you, Joe, do you have a routine that you that if we kind of revealed it to public, it might be considered a little bit? No? You're one of those boring straightaways right on the line, right? Dak, what about you? You're hiding back there. Do you have any routines? Do you get dressed every day the same way, Alex? Do you when you go to the restaurant, Amber, do you order the same thing when you go to your favorite restaurant? Always. My wife drives me crazy. We go to these restaurants. We say, where do you want to go? And we go there, and I'm going to owe her big time on this one. And she says, oh, man, I always order the same thing. How many of you do that? You go to your favorite restaurant, and you order the same thing over and over again. See, there's that logical side of you. That's that. So, Jeff, how many times do you go in the car, you say, where do you want to go to eat, honey? It doesn't matter. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Linda, when you go shopping, do you go to your favorite stores? Linda, I'm sorry. When you go shopping, do you go to your favorite stores first or? When you go shopping, do you have a routine to go shopping? You just kind of go all over the place. Okay, that's kind of cool. I know, like, JCPenney's have got notorious for, look, they put clearance on everything. So you have to look everywhere, because everywhere is a clearance, right, Nancy? Everywhere you go, it's 50% off, 30, buy two, get one, whatever. And that was their marketing thing. But the reality was their prices were so marked up, you weren't really getting anything on discount. But that's okay. It's a fun place to shop. But they trained you to look for the clearance signs. Or what does Walmart do, the little rollback thing? Normal, routine. Our life is full of routines, isn't it? Do you have a routine in the morning when you get up in the morning,
yeah, Luke? Thing.
Do the same kind of thing, get dressed. You know, our routine, get up, have coffee, do our devotionals, look at the news, get dressed, and then get moving. You know, take the shower and get dressed. There's a routine there. What is normal and what is routine? Are all routines normal? Is normal filled with routines? Well, I want to see what Scripture says about that this morning, because today, especially in light of the craziness going on in our world, there's a lot of things that are not normal. But that doesn't make it abnormal either. It just might be what they're saying now is a new normal. Ooh, that's a little scary. So let's put this up. Today's reading, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 13 and Ephesians 2:10, but here's the truth. Here's the truth. Having a routine does not, or you might say, does not always prepare us for change. Having a routine does not prepare us for change. You might say, well, what does that got to do with anything? Well, why do you even have a routine? When I was in the military, we used to do maintenance on our equipment every day or every week, or it was on a regular scheduled routine. Anybody work around equipment before you do that? You take it down, you do maintenance on it. You do oil changes at certain times. Now your car tells you with a little warning light, time for an oil change. It's the maintenance is important. It's like your health checkups. You have routine visits, right? You go to see the doctor to stay on top of it, to stay ahead of it, as they say. That's a routine. But having a routine does not prepare us for change. My routine of getting up, getting dressed, living my life, didn't prepare me for the change of what that test I just went through a couple weeks ago was going to show me. It did not. You know what routine prepared me for that? Picking my Bible up and reading it and trusting God. I trusted my doctors. I trusted Connie. I trusted the people I was putting my life in their hands. But it didn't prepare me for the potential change, and that was the scary part. But when I put my trust in God's word, that's a whole different world. It's a whole different circumstance. It's a whole different situation. Now, Paul, we had our prayer list up here. I just want to do a little experiment. Okay. Here's how, it's going to be a little simplistic, but I just want to do this. If you live your life through the lens of the Bible and what it teaches us, it'll give you a certain level of comfort. It'll give you guidance. It'll give you truth. But if you live your life through the circumstances that you're living, and then you try to find scriptures to support it, that's a different situation. I'm just going to put this right here on the piano because I'm putting the concerns on top of the Bible, and I'm going to come back and look at that in a little bit, and I want to show you something. But here's the having a routine does not prepare us for change. Go put the first slide up. So what's routine? What is the definition of routine? A sequence of actions regularly followed a fixed program. Now, for any of you left-brainers, there's some words in there that you might not like, you might not feel comfortable with. Sequence, for example. There's a process. If any of you don't like following the steps or reading the instructions or you're going to do it your own way or the highway, you might not like that. Regularly followed. There's that regularity, the black and white part of it, the processing part of it, and then a fixed program. On the one extreme is the person that's so regular and so routine that you can set the clock by them. But on the other hand, what's the other end of the spectrum? Somebody who is so dynamic and so changing and so all over the place that you can't sit down and almost relate to them. You can't connect with them. They're everywhere and anytime, and they're all over the place. You ever dealt with somebody like that? That doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it different. For most of us, though, Pat, we're in the middle. We're not at that extreme. We're not at this extreme. We're somewhere in there. We have some routines. We have some things that we call normal, and we're a little bit in between. That's okay. Our normals are normal. So let's read some scriptures. The first one is up, Hebrews 13, 7 through 9. I want you to look at something in here real quickly. It says, verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcomes of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If you have a pencil, underline that verse right there. That verse is one of those that you need to pray on and hold tight in your life as a Christian of faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Can I hear an amen on that? There is nothing routine about Jesus. Routine has nothing to do with doing the same thing over and over again. Because he's truth. And here's what I know about truth. I don't want it to change. I trusted my doctors to go in and go and put my life literally on the table. What I didn't trust was what the results were going to say. What I didn't want to believe in is what could happen. What could be on the other side of that? When we put our trust in things, are we putting our trust in the Bible? Or are we putting our trust in our circumstances? One changes, one doesn't. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit of those who do so. And the writer of Hebrews, we don't know if it's Paul, Bartholomew, or somebody else, one of the other disciples, I believe it's Paul, they're writing this at a time when the church was facing turmoil. Normal was not normal. Christians were being persecuted. The churches were being destroyed. Christians were being hunted down. And in the church itself, where you would think it would be a safe haven of ideals and focus on Jesus, they were focusing on a bunch of crazy stuff. Dietary issues. The colors of their choir robes. I'm being funny. It was about all the non-essentials. And Paul was reminding them, warning them, when there's confusion, when things are abnormal, when what is normal is not normal, remember your leaders. And who's they're talking about there? The disciples, the apostles who lived time and had time with Jesus. Look at their lives. Who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. What was the outcome of their life? They all died. Wait a minute, you go, uh-oh, are they saying that I've got to die because of that? Is that what? No. Their life was so different in the midst of turmoil that it got people's attention and it resulted in their death. But where they are now? Where are they now? They're with Jesus. They're no longer in pain. They're no longer dealing with suffering. They're no longer defined by their circumstances. They modeled it. They lived it. And then he pops this right in the middle. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You want to confuse the crowd? Change Jesus. Are you talking about the big J, little J, middle J? Talking about the one that was white, brown, yellow, came from Africa, came from the Middle East? Was he the white American Christian Jesus? You know, there's one of the protesters was talking about going to all the churches in the area and the statues and destroying everything that looks like white symbolism. Was Jesus blonde-haired and blue-eyed and white? I don't know. I've been to the Middle East, but I've also been to Mexico, and I've seen more blonde-haired, blue-eyed Mexicans than I ever saw when I was living in Southern California. That's not it. That's not what he's talking about. Remember that Jesus, what is important, though, is remember that Jesus doesn't change. It is good for your hearts to be strengthened by grace. And he goes on, and there's this whole section of things that they ought to just leave alone and not be worried about. Focus on the truth. Focus on the reality that Jesus is who he says he is. Okay, let's go on. So Carrie always tells me later after the sermons, I didn't put this on here. There's four or five things. I just want to talk to him real quick. This is setting up the discussion. So if you want to write them down, just flip your test over and you can write it. What are some good things about routines? Because there are good things about routines. My pants go on the right way all the time because I follow my routine. Right? I make my sandwiches a certain way. I like my routine. I go to work a certain way in a certain direction. I like those routines. Okay? I prepare my sermons a certain way. It's a routine. So, number one, a good thing is you know what's normal. Your routines are your normal. And you know what's okay. That's good. Number two, you can be prepared. When you say, I'm going to follow my routine, Pat, when you get ready for a Green Bay football game, do you have a routine? You put on the clothes and the attire, right? And you put out the snacks. We put out the snacks. There's a routine there. Okay, all right. We don't need to be, you know, real, you know. Huh? The phones are shut off. Anything abnormal you do in there, Pat? You kick out all the people that wear Dallas Cowboys fans? Okay. You can be prepared. When you know your routine, you're prepared. When you do routine maintenance, you're prepared. You bring the tools, you bring the equipment. Right, Jason? When you do an oil change, you're prepared, right? Nothing worse than having your car jacked up in the air and you're missing the 7-millimeter socket that you need, right? And you got to go dig it. Number three, you get used to it. It's calming, isn't Kenny? I bet you $10, I'll put money on the table right here, that you had a routine on how you made your connections in electrical circuitry, didn't you?
Yeah.
Why?
It was normal.
It worked. He got paid good money for it, and he was safe. And it didn't hurt anybody, namely himself, right?
Right.
There you go. You get used to it. What about the guy who jumped? He was a master parachutist, and he changed over from being a master parachutist and instructing people to taking photographs, and he was on the airplane, and this happened in Chino, California. He jumped out of the airplane with his camera, came on down, snapping pictures, and all of a sudden he realized he reached for his cord and he forgot to put his parachute on. A master parachutist. This is the person that you put your life in for his own self. Man, you get used to it. Number four, you help define it. My routine is my routine, Joe. Now, let's see. Lloyd, I saw you on your zero turn the other day, right? How you take care of your zero turn is how you take care of it, correct? Okay, now if I asked to borrow it and I returned it a different way than you like, you would notice that, wouldn't you? He would help define my next time I use it. Never. But your routine is your routine. You get how you log onto your computer, how you cook. Nancy, I'm going to talk about cooking stuff right now. Do you have a routine in the kitchen when you're making your lasagna rolls? Oh, yes. They're good. But there's a routine, isn't there? But if anything I've learned about you, you're not afraid to kind of, you do whatever, right? You try it. Is that good or is that bad? That's her routine. That's okay. Right? That's okay. You help define it. All right, next. You can have calm in the midst of turmoil. Have you ever felt nervous, anxious, unsettled, impatient? One of the fastest things they tell you to do is go do something you normally do to help calm you down, like breathe. Get up and walk around. Do something normal. Focus your attention on something that is pleasing or calming. That's a way to do that. Does it help? Gives you calmness in the midst of turmoil. You help provide calmness in the turmoil of my day. I appreciate that so much. There was nothing about that routine, that test that I did, that was routine. It was routine for her, and I kept hearing that. Oh, you're going to get done and go, not where I was sitting, not when I was at that moment, but you know what? She was true. She was right. Guy got better results than I was thinking I might get, which is, that helped, but it was, I had made it so much up here that when it was over, it was, she told the truth. So those are good about routines. Let's go to the bad side. Let's go to the other side. What's bad? Number one, it's not reality. What do I mean by that? It is your reality when you go through your routine, but your routine doesn't define reality. That's what your routine is. Do you understand what I'm saying? How you cut the lawns, how you drive a car, how you make food, how you put your pants on in the morning, that's your reality, but that's not reality for everybody else. That's yours. So I'm talking about the big reality, okay? You're not defined by your routines. It's your reality, but it's not the reality. Next, number two, you can get complacent. That's that parachute guy. If there's anything, I can only think of one other guy who loads explosives into mines, that you don't want to be complacent. You know, demolition guys, NDT type people. A parachutist getting so complacent that they forget to put on their, we look at that and go, huh? But that's the reality of complacency. And areas where there's high risk, Kenny, did you like OSHA?
No.
Occupational Safety Health Administration, they're the people that come over and look at your work while you're working to make sure you're doing it safely, and they shut you down if they don't, or if your company's trying to pull something. But they're technically there to protect the worker, but also to protect the public, right? And I know why he said that, because it slows everything down. They can pick the minutiae out of the pepper, as they say. They can go into the details. But those details are there to keep us from being complacent. Now, if it's a life and death situation and you have to make a choice and you're going to shortcut, you got to do whatever, that's a moment, that's a thing of the moment. But normal routine practices, normal routine hooking things up and plugging things up and unplugging things and how you do things ought to be somewhat routine so that we don't become complacent. People in our faith can become complacent. We can have our routines, go to church every Sunday, we can pick up our Bibles or not pick up our Bibles, and those routines create complacency in your faith. What does that look like? You're just kind of going along. There's no speed bumps, there's no excitement. Now, I believe, it's not biblical or scriptural, but I believe in the idea that if you're not feeling any kind of an attack in any way in your life, you're not much of a threat to Satan. Let me say that again before you guys throw things at me. If you're not feeling some kind of an attack or some kind of like an intrusion or some kind of a faith test, maybe you're not pushing the envelope. Maybe you're not getting out there in your faith far enough. Because we can become complacent. We can get to the place as Christians where normal is nothing happens. And our routines become so routine and dull, we're not pushing the envelope. Why do you think Satan's going to waste any energy if you're not a threat? Wow. That one, that's a little uncomfortable feeling. Are you saying, Pastor, that I'm routine, I'm boring, I'm not effective? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. How we get around that, how we handle that, if you want to think Jesus is boring or he's dull or he's not. He's dynamic. He is the same. The truth is the same. Our circumstances change. But we can get so used to just getting normal and following our routines that we forget that we have ministry, we have service, we have people around us that are lost, that are dying, that don't know Jesus. And then it becomes about us and not about being used by God. Be careful. Next, you can be unprepared. If all we know is our routines, we're not thinking ahead. We're not thinking outside the box. We can get to the place where we're so prepared that we're unprepared. That sounds kind of silly, but you'll understand as we keep going. Number four, it could get overly traumatic. It's the opposite of what I said on the other side. Not only could a routine provide calmness, you can get so much into your routine that when something does happen, it's overly traumatic. Because now you're being taken out of your comfort zone to the place where you're just not prepared. If you're not prepared and you're not equipped, it can be overly traumatic. To the point where the wheels just come off the bus and you shut down. And that's not where God wants us. Okay, keep going. Could get in the way of God. Our routines can get in the way of God. How we do church, how we study, how we pray. I remember as a new believer being afraid to pray out loud because I thought everybody was going to be critical of me because I didn't know how to pray. But here's what I learned. Then as I listened to other people pray, there are people who are praying to be heard by others. I pray to be heard by God. And that was a big shift for me. When I stopped worrying about how I'm praying to be heard by others, my prayer life changed. Because I got to the point where I didn't really care what anybody else thought what I was praying. Now, I'm careful with my words, of course, and what I don't mean is that it's not that I don't care about the words I'm saying. But if I'm caring more about what you're thinking of how it sounds while I'm praying, my mind's in the wrong place. So we have to be comfortable with that. And it takes time. I get it. But it could get in the way of God. It could get in the way of you serving or raising your hand saying, I'll help. because you got your routine. Or maybe you've got your place, or you've always done whatever in service in the church and wherever you're at or your ministry. And somebody comes along and says, can you do this? And you say, no, because that's not who I am, or that's not my routine. Maybe God's opening the door and challenging you to try something different. It could. That's why I put the word could there. I think as Christians, we know. God talks to us. He knows you, and he knows the desires of your heart. That's why I said it could. It could get overly traumatic. It could get in the way of God. All right, let's go to the next slide. Hurry up. These are on your outline. Five good routines. These are things that every one of us ought to be doing. These are good ones. These are practices that everybody in the church, everybody who calls himself a Christian, ought to be doing. And I bet you if we were playing that game show where I put the first letter and the last letter up, you'd guess what these are. We know what these are. Okay, who wants to guess what's on the list of five good things? What's one that you think's on there? Pray. Okay, put the first one up. Well, it's on there. I can't mix it up, but Jacob's looking at the slides. He knows what's coming. Reading scripture, right? Number two. There it is. Number three. Fellowship. What are we doing right now? What are we going to do this afternoon when we get together for celebrating Jacob? What do we do when we have our get-togethers? What do we do when we come over and hang out and watch football? And you hold your nose while you're in a Green Bay house if you're a Cowboy fan. Hey, you just fellowship because I like hanging around with you, Pat. Ray, I love it. Paul, we go fishing and see the kids, you know. Kenny, shooting. I've spent time with all of you at some time, I think. I believe. Had dinner at my house. That's fellowship. Come to the groups. Number four, service. VBS is a big one coming up. If you can help, that would be great. Greatly appreciated, but it's also a great, good routine. Serving regularly. And lastly, Sabbath. Taking a break from turn the cell phone off, turn the internet off. Oh my gosh. You want to feel normal again? Turn the internet off. Don't watch the news. Turn off Twitter. Turn off Facebook. Turn off Instagram. And then you go outside and you go, the dogs are barking, the birds are chirping, the leaves are waving, raining. Beautiful outside. And if your routine becomes only about that, guess what? You're going to feel abnormal. Because that is abnormal. That's not reality. So there are five good routines that I think we all ought to practice that every Christian, in fact, the Bible commands us to do these things. Jesus said, do them. They're good ones. Okay, next. But here's three things that I want you to focus on about routines. And we got fill in the blanks. The first one is in Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, Daniel was a prophet. You know Daniel in the lion's den, that story? Okay. He lived through three tyrants. And he knew that they're all going to die and they're all going to go away. And he knew that he was walking right with God. And he knew that God was going to protect him. And he knew that God's promises were good. And these tyrants they disappeared and Daniel was still around. This is not the lions in the lion's den thing yet. This is this decree that they're talking about. He had some advisors around him, co-leaders, that didn't like Daniel because Daniel had favor with the king. And they set about setting a decree that said that everybody had to bow down and worship the king. And Daniel knew about it, but Daniel didn't go around posting on Facebook, Instagram about he hates the king or he hates these people or he hates whatever. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. You see, when he knew the decree meant he could die, it said anybody who didn't follow this decree were wrong. They were in the wrong, and they were going to be killed. And they did it specifically to get rid of Daniel. And what did Daniel do? He didn't go running around screaming, my hair's on fire. He went home and he did his routine. So, number one, go put the godly routines can prepare us. Now, notice I put the word godly in front of it. Those are the good things, the routines of praying. Daniel went home and prayed, and it prepared him for what he was going to face next. He did the things that honored God. He did the things that where he could hear God's voice, and he was prepared. The next verse, James 5:16 says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." This is hard to do in an American church. It's sad to see pastors fall because this isn't practice or they don't practice it. But when it, even in the membership where you can honestly walk up to somebody and say, I'm sinning in this area and I need your prayers. Can you pray with me? Oh my gosh. It's like talking about your paycheck. You don't do that. It just feels like, how honest can you be? And here's the reality. That right there requires a lot of trust. And that trust only comes through relationship. So when we built time, when we walk in the battles together, and we've worked together, Paul, and we've lived life together, and that trust is there, that happens. But the expectation in James is that it's happening all the time. And somehow we've gotten away from that routine. But in this case, this routine, go ahead and put it up, Jacob. Godly routines lead to changed lives. When this was practiced, when this the early church was starting, that's all they had. They didn't have internet. They didn't have preachers on demand. They didn't have even scriptures written down. They had practices. Remember the verse in Hebrews where it said, follow your leaders. Remember what they taught you from God. This is one of the practices. This is one of the routines that's important to our faith. And why is it important? Number one, you confess your sin to each other. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I sinned against you, Ray, for example. But I committed a sin and I need your prayers because I want to be reconciled with Jesus. And as long as I'm walking around with that, what's Satan doing with that sin? Kicking my, you know what? Making me feel about this big? Taking my minds off of him? That's how Satan uses it. Godly routines can lead to changed lives. And they will. And then thirdly, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory. Is anybody in this room excluded from that list? Anybody? Anybody want to try to put your hand up on that one? It says all have sinned. If we've all sinned and fallen short, how much of that confessing on the last slide is happening in our lives? It seems like, you know, that list of things of when problems happen, you know, did we have a routine of maintenance in our life of where we're confessing, where it doesn't create catastrophic, traumatic situations, but we've been prepared and we've dealt with it as it started to come up. It's sad to see a pastor fall. It's sad to see a pastor get caught. But you know what? In most of those cases, somebody saw something happening. And they either didn't want to say anything, they didn't feel they could say anything, or they just didn't feel like they were the right person to do it. But it's not about catching somebody out and busting them. It's about reconciling them to Jesus, healing them. So in this case, godly routines focus our reality. Remember I told you about being complacent? Our routines, even in the church, can alter our reality because it becomes about our routine. Well, I read my Bible every day. I give every week. I attend church every week. I call and I talk with people and I pray for them all the time. But that can become, that's the limit of your reality. Godly routines focus our reality on the truth. We're all sinners. We can almost sound really good to ourselves. Look at me. I'm not one of them. I'm not out there. I'm not tearing down statues. I'm not wearing t-shirts with explosive terms on the outside of it. I'm not calling names. I'm not, okay. Who was Jesus the most upset with when he was here on earth? The religious folks. And sometimes our routines become religion. It becomes our gods. It becomes our thing. And it takes us away from an intimate relationship with Jesus. And that's when we stop connecting. It focuses our reality. It's a perception issue again, all over time. When you focus on the truth, when you focus on scriptures, it changes your focus. Okay, let's go here. So here's our conclusion. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Stop a minute, just before we put the answer up. Let's read that again. For we are God's handiwork. Amen? God created us. Okay? There are no mistakes. He created us. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It was God's original design in the image of Jesus Christ to be doing good works, which God prepared us in advance for us to do. Do you see that last little sentence? That's the kicker right there. That's the thing that I want you to focus on. In advance. Which means what? Tomorrow. What's that verse about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow because it's got enough of its own issues. Take care of today. There's nothing routine about today and tomorrow, except when it comes to Jesus, right? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The truth is the truth. Our circumstances, our things don't change. So remember I told you about this little thing right here? In light of who you are and how you look at life, if you look at your circumstances and then you look for scriptures to support that, that's the wrong way of looking at life. You look at and immerse and put your focus on this truth and on scriptures, and your circumstances fall in alignment underneath those things, underneath the truth. And so when you're dealing with the circumstances of life, these are going to change. I do the outline every week. Every week, Paul stands up here faithfully, or whoever's doing it, Di, Carrie, and we take prayer requests. Praises and prayers, right? These change all the time. Since I've been here and I've been doing this, since I took it over from Connie, I've got 6 or 7 years worth of prayer requests. But I only have one Bible, people. That truth doesn't change. These change all the time. You're not defined by your circumstances. We should be defined by the truth. So the takeaway here is this. God doesn't want your routine to become routine. He doesn't want your routine to become routine. Louis, your routine is your reality, but he wants you to stay focused on him. He's the routine. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth this morning. No matter how hard it is to hear sometimes, Lord, I'm not up here provoking or challenging anybody to do anything more than they believe that they ought to be doing. But I do know this. If we don't ask the question, don't ask the question if you don't want to hear the answer. And if the question from each of us to God, to you every day, is, God, use me. Use me. I'm not done. I want to serve you. I want to be faithful. Don't ask that question if you don't want to hear the answer. Because none of us are up for retirement. None of us are put out the shady groves pasture. You have work for us to do every day. Be it through our grandkids, be it through our kids that live far away from us, kids that come to visit us, people in the hospital, people in our workplace, people we see down the road, people that are broken and down on the side of the road, people that we bump into in the stores. There's nothing routine about the Christian life. We do develop routines, and they bring us comfort, and they bring us peace. I get that. But there's nothing routine about you, God. There's nothing routine about you. And Jesus proved over and over again the routine is not for him. He broke the rules. He broke the routines of faith at the time, and I'm glad he did. And as Paul, I believe Paul reminds us in Hebrews, we're to look to our leaders. We're to look to the teachings of God. And our routines can somehow stifle and block our relationship with you. And I pray right now that all of us can get out of our routines that might be doing that and find new ones, healthier routines. Father, my prayer is that we all keep growing, because when we stop growing, we start dying. And so, Father, I pray for everyone this morning that we just keep growing in our lives and our faith and lean forward in the saddles and not back. Father, we love you. We say thank you for all you're doing in our lives, including the challenges. Thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.